Hello, my name is Daniel Morris, and I'm pastor of Cultivate Church Nashville. I want to invite you to join us each Sunday on the Roots campus in Cool Springs for Bible study at 9 a.m. for adults, students, and children, and worship beginning at 10:30 a.m. Our vision is to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing every day in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at Cultivate, we're committed to bringing the love and transforming power of Christ to all people through evangelism and missions both here in the Nashville region and around the world. We're a church on the move, and I invite you to join us on our journey.
Are you ready to study the Word then? Okay, good. Me too. If you have your Bibles, or if you have a tablet, or any place to get on a Bible, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. All right, we've been in Romans. I paused for Easter, and then last week I did a follow-up message on how do I get healed from what broke me. And then I was kind of praying, it's like it was kind of time to jump back into Romans, but I sensed the Lord was kind of taking me to kind of finish up and wrap out what we were doing, and I didn't quite know where, but the Lord led me back to Romans anyway. All roads lead to Romans, right? So it just seems like that He just knows what to do. And today I believe that God's bringing us back to something crucial, not just to teach us something, but to transform us, to do something transformational in us. And the reason why is that I believe, and I've just sensed this along the way, even since Easter and before, that if you're here in the room or if you're watching online today, there are people among us and around us that are searching for something. You're searching for something, and today the Holy Spirit wants to show you that what you're actually searching for is not something, but it's someone. It's someone. I feel like the Apostle Paul touched on most of what we deal with and what we wrestle with when it comes to religion and Christianity and freedom and salvation. He approaches every angle if you're reading carefully. From unbelievers coming to faith in Christ to religious people surrendering to a relationship with Christ. And in both cases, whether you're saved and religious or you're unsaved and unreligious, there's search for freedom in both cases. Some of us, your slap wore out from sin. And then there's some of us that are wore out from religion. Either way, you might be here today and you're searching for freedom, and Jesus came to set us all free. Whatever you're searching for, wherever you are in your life, Jesus came to set us free. And there's a reason, I'm going to tell you, there's a reason that you feel the gap, that you feel an ache, that you feel this hunger there. That's not just life. What that is that's the Spirit drawing you deeper from where you are right now to where He wants to bring you. And you don't need a quick fix, you need a Lord. You need a Savior. And some of you might think, I need to find God, I'm trying to get my life together, or might be like me, and I'm ready to move to the next chapter. I'm looking to move to the next chapter. Let's turn this page. Let's jump over the line. Let's go for it. Let's move on. And that longing is real. And if you're thinking any of those things, I need to get my life together. I'm ready to move on. I'm looking for the next thing to move on to. If you're like, I need to find God, it is most likely, if you're thinking any of those things at all, that the Spirit of God is pursuing you. Either in your sin condition or the state of striving, and I'm telling you why He's pursuing you is because He wants to move you from that, and He wants you to move deeper in relationship with Him wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is always trying to move us into relationship. It's not a feeling. It's not a new season. Freedom isn't found in getting spiritual. Freedom is found in finding Jesus. And when you truly find him, you don't just add him to you to your life, you make him Lord over your life. Last week we talked about healing. Healing opens the door, but lordship leads you through the door. The title of this message today is Seeking Freedom, Finding Jesus. Seeking Freedom, Finding Jesus. And today we're going to talk about what it really means to make Jesus Lord and what it looks like to walk in freedom in what you've been seeking. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? We're going to pray first, and that we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in the reading of the word and to teach us and transform us and to speak to us in only ways that he can. Now, I can get up here and I can say a lot, but unless the Holy Spirit is leading and anointing and guiding, then it's just going to be a nice little thing, and then we're going to walk out with no transformation. But if the Holy Spirit of God takes the word of God that's proclaimed in truth, it can transform your life if you want it to. Do you know that? And it doesn't matter if you're in this room or if you're watching online. He can meet you right where you are. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would do a work that we could not do on our own. And Lord, I declare that I need you now more than I ever have in my life. And I would dare say that to everyone who's standing with me and everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice. We need you. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to do what you want to do. Speak, Lord. We're listening. Turn something in our life today. I pray that you would remove distractions in the name of Jesus. Anything that would distract us or hinder us from hearing the truth plainly, would it be thwarted and removed right now? Fight a battle for us, Lord. Anything that would keep us from knowing you and the fullness of you in our lives, remove it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you remain standing? Here we go. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 10. Chapter 10, Romans 10, 1 through 10. Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm that they have for God. Now, I just want you to notice that here. He says, I pray for them to be saved. I know the enthusiasm that they have for God. But it is misdirected zeal. They were very religious, you know. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law, or trying to keep all the rules. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. And as a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, now listen carefully. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, finish that sentence, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Do you believe that? God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. If you're taking notes today, if you're searching for freedom, And whatever it is, wherever you are in your life, but you're searching for some freedom today, here's number one, you need to surrender what you're searching for. You need to surrender what you are searching for. Go back to verse 2 and 3. It says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. See, they were searching for something. These people were searching for something, but they were searching in the wrong way. And then it says, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. And then I underline this in my Bible, refusing to accept God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. In other words, they're just trying to live right. They're trying to be moral. They're trying to follow all the rules, all the things that we're supposed to do. They were doing it, but they were missing the mark. Now, refusing to accept God's way would indicate that they were presented with God's way. But they were intentionally and unwillingly surrendering to God's way, to follow God's way. See, most of us want Jesus to fix what's broken in our lives. We just don't want him to take over. A lot of times we're not really looking for Jesus, but we're looking for what he can do for us. Our flesh wants relief. We're not asking him to change our hearts. We're not asking him to change our minds. That's not included in our prayers a lot of times. We often ask God for relief without our surrender to his lordship. But Jesus just doesn't offer healing or peace or hope. He does offer all of those things, and he has an abundance of all of those things, but not just those things. He offers you transformation in your life from the inside out. Jesus point blank asked a group of people, and he called them out for this very thing. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, he says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" In other words, Jesus is saying to them, if you call me Lord, that should show up in how you live your life, not just how you talk. See, Paul was addressing people that had a lot of zeal for God. They were doing a lot of talking with their mouth, but they weren't doing anything with their lives. The search itself isn't bad. But Jesus is not interested in becoming an addition to your life. He wants to be the foundation of your life. If you're still trying to get Jesus to fit into your agenda, you're missing the whole point. Jesus doesn't fit into our lives. He rebuilds our lives from the ground up. Can anybody testify to that? Now, real quick, I want to tell you what lordship means. I'm going to visit lordship later on, but I want to tell you what it means so that we're all on the same page. We throw that word, Lord, Jesus is Lord, we throw that around, but many don't understand what it means. Lord here, in this passage, it literally means master, owner, ruler, sovereign. And here's what it means in this context. It means that Jesus has rightful authority over every part of your life. In the early church, saying Jesus is Lord was radical. In the Roman Empire, citizens were required to declare that Caesar is Lord. To say that Jesus is Lord, to go that far, to say that Jesus is Lord was treason against Rome. It was against the law to do so. In full allegiance to Christ in saying that Christ was Lord, in many cases it cost them their life to say that. And a lot of people have missed this and the importance of it in Scripture because pulpits have skipped it. And we've preached Jesus as Savior, but we've skipped him as Lord. But Jesus doesn't come in parts. He doesn't offer to be your Savior and not your Lord. That's not his offering. He saves you, and he's ready to lead you. In fact, I think for some of us, he saves us. So you're like, Lord Jesus, will you save me? And he says, yes, I will. Now come follow me. And he strikes out, and then he's going, and he's talking, and he's trying to lead you, and he looks back, and you're way back there where he saved you. I think we want Jesus to do something in us, but he says, follow me. I am your Savior and your Lord. A lot of us accept the saving, but we hold back on the surrender to his Lordship in our lives. Lord doesn't mean that Jesus is a nice consultant that you check in with when you're stuck. Lord means he's the king, the boss, and the leader of your life. His word has the final say in your life, not your feelings, not your friends, and certainly not your fears. If he says it, we trust it. If he leads, we follow. Have you ever used a GPS and had completely ignored what it's told you to do because you thought you had a better way? You'll hear it say, turn left, and you think, nah, I know a shortcut. Especially you men. 5 minutes later, you're lost, you're stuck in traffic, and you're rerouted across town. That happened to me this weekend, so I know. That's what a lot of us do with Jesus. We want him in the car. We want him to keep us safe as we're driving. We want him to give us peace at every turn. We want him to give us affirmation along the journey. But we don't want him giving directions. We want to drive. But hear me. Jesus isn't your co-pilot. That bumper sticker, by the way, Jesus is my co-pilot, that's wrong. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He's supposed to be the one holding the wheel. He's supposed to be the one driving the car. And lordship means that you stop arguing with the GPS, and you pull over and you hand him the keys. And you get out and you let him get in. That's what it means to make him Lord of your life. Some of us today are frustrated about where we are, but we're the ones who keep overriding the GPS. It's not enough to admire Jesus. It's not enough to just believe he's real. True freedom starts when you lay down what you're chasing and you say, Jesus, you know better than I do. You lead. You lead with my job. You lead with my wife and my kids. You lead with my finances. You lead with my relationships. And maybe you're searching for success. Maybe you're searching for healing. Maybe you're searching for answers. But you find Jesus and he invites you to surrender your search for whatever it is, to trust him and to know that he is what you've been looking for all along and he is enough. Surrender what you've been searching for. Number two, trust him when you find him. When you find him, trust him. Look at verse 4. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe, I want you to underline that word believe, in him are made right with God. Now, in the English, believe is something that you just do in your head. So I don't want you to miss the translation, so we're going to dig a little bit. Is that okay if I teach you? All right? So believe here is more than an agreement. People say Jesus is Lord, and the room says amen. Okay? There's no one sitting in here. If I say Jesus is Lord, you'd be like, well, I don't know about that. Okay, I'm going to say it. And then you say amen, everybody says so be it, agree. But in the original language, the word believe means a lot more than our English word. Here in 10:4, later in 10:9, which we'll get there, Paul isn't talking about casual agreement. That's not what he's talking about. Here, this word, believe, it literally means to entrust, to put the weight of your life on it. He's talking about a whole life entrusting yourself to Jesus. It's not intellectual belief, it's relational surrender. Believing from the heart in this way, in this passage, believing from the heart means putting your trust in motion. Now I want you to follow me carefully. Believing that Jesus is real doesn't make you saved. That's right. James tells us, and I'm going to show you, even the demons believe that Jesus is real and that he's Lord. They know who he is. But they don't bow. They don't follow. They tremble in fear, but they never surrender in faith. Now, James says this very thing in James 2:19. He says, you say you have faith, for you believe. All right, now there's this word believe again, but it's not the same. Here in James, he's saying that you just mere acknowledge his existence. And so he's saying, you say you have faith and you acknowledge that Jesus exists, but he says that there is, and you say that there is one God. Good for you. I'm sure he's kind of saying that tongue in cheek. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds or faith in action is useless? Some translations say is dead. So just knowing about Jesus isn't the goal. You want to know what the goal is? Surrendering to him is the goal. That's the goal. There's a difference between believer and disciple. And the difference is lordship. And your actions of belief under lordship is trust. That's the difference between a faith that agrees, oh yes, he's Lord, he sure is, he sure is, and a faith that acts. Between a belief that nods and a belief that moves. I want to illustrate what I mean. Imagine there's a chair here. There's a bench, okay? There's a bench right there. You see it. You walk around it. You look at it. You even think, that looks like a strong bench right there. It looks like that if I sat on that bench right there, that it would hold me up. You agree with that? Sheila, do you agree? If you sat there on that bench, it'd probably hold you up? Mm-hmm. I do. It does. And then we just stand there and we say, that's good. That's nice. Nice bench. That's a nice bench. But you never sit down on it. That's what James 2:19 is talking about. You acknowledge it. You look at it. You walk around it. You stare at it. You talk about it. You nod. You say, that's pretty strong, ain't it? But you never sit down. The demons believe in God. They acknowledge who Jesus is. They know he's Lord, but they'll never sit on the bench. Now imagine someone else walks up and says the same thing. That bench can hold me, and then they sit down on it. That bench can hold me, and then they sit down. That's the kind of belief that Romans is calling for. That's the kind of belief. Not just agreeing with Jesus, but resting the full weight of your life on him. It's saying, I'm done standing on my own. I'm done analyzing the chair. I'm done pretending like agreeing is enough. I'm sitting down. I'm trusting you, Lord, to hold me up. So the question is, and this might sound silly to you, but the question is, have you sat down yet? Or are you just standing there admiring the chair? Have you rested your life on the person of Jesus? Or do you just acknowledge him? You can believe that Jesus is Lord and still live like you're in charge. That's a James 2:19 kind of belief. Acknowledge belief. Yeah, I know. I know he can. I know he's Lord. But a saving belief says, I'm done standing on my own. I'm done. I'm going to rest my whole life on him. Finding Jesus is not a difficult search. If you're searching, he's going to move into your purview. If you're searching for him, he's going to move where you can see him. In fact, he's going to get all up in your business. You know that to be true? If you really start looking for freedom, you start looking for something, he's going to step out right there. Finding Jesus, though, is just the beginning. But when you find him and you choose him, trusting him is where freedom is unlocked. You get where I'm going. Do you understand? Trust is not having all your questions answered. You're not going to have them. It's about knowing who's holding the map when you can't see the road. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend, do not sit down on your own understanding. Seek him in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust means moving forward before you have the details and the outcome isn't clear. Trust means saying, Jesus, I trust your character even when I can't see your plan. Trust is believing he's good even when life doesn't feel good. Trust is saying, Jesus, I don't want you to bless my plan. I want your plan to be my plan. That's trust. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And listen, trusting Jesus doesn't mean that he's going to lead you out of all the pain in this world. I wish that were true, but it's not true. Trusting Jesus doesn't mean that he just releases you. He didn't put you in a bubble. Fair warning, you're going to experience heartache and pain in this life. You're going to experience troubles and trials and loss and uncertainty and all of the above. As a believer with anointing and purpose over your life, being lived in hot pursuit after Jesus, if that's where you are, if that's where you're living, you're going to face warfare, I'm telling you now. I better warn you now, because if you haven't come to Christ yet, I want your eyes wide open. If you do, to be a true Christian is the most rewarding and yet the most difficult thing you will ever do. But it is also the only way that leads to eternal life, that leads to life itself, love, meaning, purpose, hope, and peace that doesn't fade when life hits hard. By the way, Christianity is not the fair weather life, if you're doing it right. You can't put Christianity on when it works for you. And if you try, you're making a fool of yourself and you're spreading a false gospel about what it means to follow Jesus. God will not put you in a bubble for you to bypass all of life's heartaches, but what he will do is he will lead you through whatever comes. He will take something that sin calls to you, and he will use it to shape you and to form you and to bring glory to him. He will transform you to be more like Jesus Christ through it. In other words, your life will count and it will matter for eternity. Not one moment of your life will be wasted. And you might ask, how do I know that I can trust him? That's a good question. You can trust him because he's proven himself at the cross and by rising from the grave. That's how. See, Jesus has nothing left to prove to you. He's got nothing left to prove. He has proved his love when he bled and he died for you, and he proved his power to deliver you when he came out of the tomb. Wherever you are, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Number three, seeking freedom, finding Jesus, follow where he leads. Follow where he leads. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. following. So what happens if you sit down on the bench? Well, you follow the one who's holding you up. This is where trust becomes obedience and belief becomes lordship. Lordship over your life isn't something that you say one day at the altar. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. It's something that you walk out every single day of your life. You can say that Jesus is Lord with your mouth, but you can betray Him with your steps. Now, go to Romans 10:9, which I referenced earlier. He says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord. Now, what he's doing here is he's telling these very moral people, very religious people. Now he's telling them, hey, here's how you're really saved. Here's how it really works. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you confess and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, to declare that Jesus is Lord, by the way, that means he's Lord of all and he's Lord for you. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and he's also Lord over you. By the way, you can't truly confess that Jesus is Lord of all and refuse to make him Lord of you. Just get the semantics right. You can't say it and truly believe and confess that unless you're also saying he's Lord over all and I'm included in the all. All right, now, then he says believe. Declare and believe. All right, I've already told you what believe means. Those are both action words. Those are both action. Declare and believe. Now, we've already looked at what believe means. It means to entrust. But now Paul connects it with declare. Both of these things together. To openly, boldly proclaim your allegiance to Jesus as your King. This is a full body, full on, full life surrender. That's what it is. You're not just sitting there on the bench or in the chair anymore. You're trusting you're sitting there, but that's not all. Now you're saying, I follow the one who holds me up. I'm following the one. Lordship is revealed in not just your belief, but it is revealed in our obedience. Lordship is in a one-time statement. It's a daily surrender. Following under his lordship looks like this. You forgive someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Lordship looks like this. You stay when it would be easier to leave. You serve when no one else sees it. You obey when you don't understand. And you pray, not my will, but your will be done. That's lordship. When you're seeking freedom in your life, always remember this. I don't want you to forget this. Freedom isn't found in doing whatever you want. See? As kids, we think, if I could just do whatever I want, I could be free. Now, as we get older, we still have that idea. You know why? Because that's a worldly, fleshly idea. We're born to believe if we can just be the Lord of our own life, if we can just be in control, if I could just do what I want, I would be free. Now, is that true? Truth is, freedom is found in following the one who knows what's best for you. That's the truth. Freedom is found in following the one who knows what's best for you. If you only follow Jesus when it's easy, when you feel like it, He's not really your Lord. He's just your consultant. Ouch. But if you can follow the Lord when it's hard, when the going gets tough, when you can't see, when it doesn't feel good, if you can follow Him then, if you can follow Him when it costs you something, see, that's the thing. A lot of people, they want all the goodness of God, but they don't want it to cost them something. They want all the success of Christianity. They want all the blessing of Christianity, but they don't want to pay the price of following the Lord. But if you can follow Him when it costs you something, even when it's painful, that's when you're walking under lordship. Following Jesus means it's a whole life shift for you. Your whole life just begins to shift. There's a change there. When you follow the Lord and you make Him Savior and Lord of your life and you come up under His lordship and you trust Him and you surrender to Him and you're following Him, I'm going to tell you some practical things that start to change in your life. Your calendar changes. Do you know that? Because you're going to start giving your time to things that matter. You know what else changes? Your relationships change. Obedience to the Lord might cost you some comfort in some relationships. Your priorities change because His kingdom starts to come first. He starts to put His kingdom above your kingdom. So you start to get some priority shifts in your life. You're like, where did that come from? That's the Lord working in your life. And I'm going to tell you what else changes is your identity changes. Because you no longer belong to you. The more of yourself that you surrender, the more He changes how you think, what you say, what you want to do with your time, your energy, your resources. And I tell you what, nobody really has to come along and tell you that. The Holy Spirit does that. He does that work. When He says to forgive, you forgive. When He says go, you go. When He says stay, you stay. When He says speak, you might not know what you're about to say, but you open up your mouth and you speak. When He says shut your mouth, you may want to say something. You may think you can help, but when He says shut your mouth, you shut down. There have been times when I've wanted to help the Holy Spirit out. And I've wanted to help Him out on some of you. And some of you have wanted to help the Holy Spirit out in each other's lives. And I'm like, no. Let Him do that work. Let Him do the work because He'll do it way better than you ever could. He'll do it way better than I ever could. We don't do it because it's easy, because it's not. We don't do it because we feel like it. We do it because He's Lord. Because He's Lord. And don't forget this, by the way. You don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. You don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. You don't have to understand all the nuances of what God's asking you to do before you say yes and go for it. Do you know that? We want that. We want that. The flesh nature wants that. But that's not how it works in God's economy. Here's the pattern today. Here's the pattern. Surrender. trust, and follow. Did you catch that in the pattern? Surrender, trust, and follow. That's what lordship looks like. That's what it looks like for Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. And that's where freedom lives. Did you make that connection with me? Seeking freedom, finding Jesus. If you want freedom in your life, if you want to run, if you're ready to run, if you're ready for transformation in your life, if you're ready for that, make him your Savior and Lord. Trust him, follow him. Surrender, trust him, follow him. Are you done just seeking the freedom? Or are you ready to find it? Are you ready to find it? Are you ready to surrender to Jesus as Lord of your life?